The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom! It's still a Foxconn Wednesday edition. Welcome to it, my little buddy.
Hey, Kroot, good to see you. Rich working hard today, man. Overtime for Rich and our fair audience. Happy, happy hour to us all.
Come on, man. I've been working hard since earlier today just because there are some minor inefficiencies in my day, Dom. It doesn't mean I didn't at least go out there and try.
You know, I guess at least you tried, Kroot. You got to show up. If you don't show up, nothing happens. And sometimes when you show up, nothing still happens.
Speaking of, I showed up at that Trump rally last week. As you know, I took a picture with Mike Lindell, got a little exclusive, played a little of it for our audience. And then somebody AI generated that into something different. They took my photo and that of Mike Lindell, and they made me look sort of Moses-ish. They gave me a white beard. And Mike Lindell, they make look like his, you know, crack smoking days. Sort of like a crack zombie. And there were some other little edits to the picture. Apparently Richard Kimball was in there and the Easter Bunny. Some other little eggs they dropped in the photo alteration. But Dom, as you brought to my attention, my AI Kroot-y selfie has been fact-checked again.
Twice, man.
Had I not gone to Trump, I would not have been AI memed or fact-checked even once.
Well, so, you got that going for you, which is nice.
As I told you, Dom, I got up. I made every effort to go to Joe Biden. I drove all the way to Studevant. Apparently, the event closed earlier than they represented to the press, as the Secret Service guy outside told me, apparently, I wasn't the only disappointed member of the media that didn't make it in the room. But fortunately, some did, Dom. And I did watch the president's speech in real time down in Studevant. I did get the hell out of there, though, before I got the interstate shut down again by the presidential motorcade, because that's what got me going into town. But anyways, I'm always encouraged when I can turn on the Fox News and hear encouraging words about President Joe Biden and trolling of the former president for his unfulfilled promises and Scott Walker on Foxconn. Who would have thunk it? Peter Doocy, the Raw story, my lead Dumb, Brad Reed reporting. Foxconn's Peter Doocy, who's well known for getting into sparring matches with Biden's White House press officials and occasionally Biden himself, right? Biden called him an SOB the other day. Well, I guess it's been a while. Highlighted some news on Wednesday that President Joe Biden's campaign couldn't resist sharing. When the Biden campaign is sharing the Peter Doocy, you know the Doocy stepped in something.
You know they did something not right.
Now, this morning, Dom, on the Fox and Friends, Doocy discussed Microsoft's announcement that it would be building an artificial intelligence data center in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. Yeah, where Foxconn was supposed to go, Dom. The same location where the former president, Donald Trump, once vowed to build a job-creating Foxconn plant that, as it's written here, Dom, never came to fruition. No. And as the Wall Street Journal reported, Biden traveled to Wisconsin to tout the new project on Wednesday, along with executives from Microsoft, who said the new site would initially create 2,300 construction jobs and eventually as many as 2,000 data center jobs. Microsoft said it is also investing in a new AI lab at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee campus to train workers to use AI technology, according to the Wall Street Journal. That's a Rupert Murdoch rag. And then the Peter Doocy on the Rupert Murdoch own network, the Foxy News, had this to say. Well, first his old man, Steve. Fox and Friends host Steve Doocy, who happens to be Peter's dad, I'm not sure if that's his proudest moment, made sure to note that Microsoft's data center was being built in the same community where Foxconn said we're going to build a big plant, and they never did. That's what Steve Doocy said this morning on the Foxy Friends. And then his son, Peter, said, yes. And that was a huge Trump announcement back then. And he said that the factory was going to be the eighth wonder of the world. But then Foxconn decided to really scale back their plans, and the land is still available. So Microsoft is going in. Is that what they did? They scaled back their plans, Dom?
Yes, I guess that's what we'll call it.
And then the father again on the Fox and Friends said, it's going to be good for those people. I mean, this sounds like them reporting real news in real time, Dom. I'm quite frankly shocked, as was the official Biden-Harris HQ Twitter account. They took note of the reporting and made sure to tout it in a rare instance of a conservative cable news network providing positive coverage of the Biden White House. So, Joe Biden came to Studevant, to the Mount Pleasant area, to the Foxconn area. Peter and Steve Doocy took note, gave Biden all the credit for fulfilling the promises that Trump, and by extension, Scott Walker, never did. They got Foxconn. Biden did not.
Now, Biden literally used the term Foxconn today.
He said it was right in the name. We knew that. It was just too convenient. Hashtag Foxconn. Rich, let's play the one quote. The golden shovels. This is Joe Biden earlier today in Studevant, Wisconsin, talking about the Foxconn and the promises made but not kept by his predecessor, played for the people.
Are you kidding me? Look what happened. They dug a hole with those golden shovels, and then they fell into it.
Yes, they did.
Scott Walker even did a campaign ad once, down in a hole. I don't think that's what he meant.
A little bit of reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Biden's stop in Studevant, his fourth trip to the state this year, comes as he's locked in a tight presidential race with presumptive GOP nominee Trump, who held a narrow 51-49 percentage point lead among Wisconsin's registered voters and likely voters, according to a Marquette Law School poll. On economic issues, the poll found they favored Trump 52-34. I think there's some more Quinnipiac polling out today. Perhaps we'll get to that later. Biden referenced Trump and Foxconn early in his 20-minute speech before an audience of about 200, using that experience to contrast with the more than 700,000 jobs he said have been added in Wisconsin under his watch. That growth, he said, stems from his Investing in America initiative, a package of bills passed in late 2021 and early 2022 that aims to encourage investments in domestic manufacturing and infrastructure, accelerate the nation's transition to clean energy, and create new, well-paying jobs. Biden said this, on my watch, we make promises and we keep promises. Oh, God, I hope you're right, man. Because the last president made a promise while standing on that same dirt was full of it.
You know,
so was the governor. So are the locals. So are the chambers. They were all wrong.
That doesn't mean Joe's wrong. It may mean that you're wrong, or Scott Walker or Trump or all the predecessors. But, Dom, Joe Biden's already passed $1.2 trillion in infrastructure funding. The money is already there. So when you say this, like, oh, well, other politicians like Trump made promises and didn't keep them, how does that reflect on Joe Biden?
Well, he's the current president in an election year, standing on
the last guy lied,
promising to create a bunch of jobs. I mean, it's
Microsoft is the world's largest corporation, dude. They've got a little more credibility than the back of the napkin deal made by Scott Walker with Chairman Wu. Thank you, Mr. Foxconn.
We have a little bit of that. This is where my skepticism comes in. So this is what the project manager, Louis? I think it was Louis. Louis Wu. If you're ready for these, Rich, let's play cut number R. The good thing. He couldn't believe that people are actually like pushing back against the thought that
a little skeptical
is gonna come here. Yeah, yes. Call me skeptical. Play it if you would please, cut R.
We are trying to do the good thing here. No matter how we look at it, it should be a good thing.
It should be. Let's keep going down
it
the line.
It was for their corporation. They got all the tax incentives.
Cut T, patting on the back.
When I walk down the street, people should be rushing to me and patting my back and say, hey, thank you, Mr. Foxon. You know, you guys are really helping us out.
I almost literally threw up in my mouth a little bit when I heard that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one thing to even say that, even if things went great and successful. But, of course, he says that they did not go great and successful, or they're not really going at all. Now, perhaps the investment in the infrastructure helps, you know, Microsoft, so maybe there's some return on those dollars spent. Well, the whole Foxconn thing was a bust. Louis Wu, the project manager, resigned, I believe, from here in, like, 2019. Let's do the next one. Cut.
Did he go run for president of Taiwan or something?
I think that was the CEO.
I thought economy would always go beyond politics, right? Because what is good regardless of who proposed it, regardless of, you know, who's doing it, right? Fortunately, we are a global company. We are not a Republican company or a Democratic company.
Yeah, but you found some Republican patsies to join you in this conspiracy to mislead the president. At that time, it was Donald Trump. They were trying to mislead him during a time when he was stiffening the tariffs on China, right? And this was an effort to get in good. Well, Foxconn promises a $10 billion investment in the state of Wisconsin, a state that Donald Trump barely won, and his chief of staff writes Priebus. Well, they're on Air Force One, and they look out the window, and there's the promised land. It's Mount Pleasant. And the rest, as they say, has become history. Not a good history.
But history, nonetheless. Perhaps a changing history for the region with Microsoft stepping in, stepping up. I remain a little skeptical given the, you know, the issues we've had.
Here's what Biden said, a little more context. 6 years ago, when my predecessor came with the promise of claiming our country's proud manufacturing legacy, and we made infrastructure week every week for 4 years, and we didn't build a damn thing. He and his administration promised $10 billion investment in Foxconn. In fact, he came here with your senator, Ron Johnson, literally holding a golden shovel, promising to build the eighth wonder of the world. At least it wasn't golden showers, more devils.
Foxconn is dead.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines, talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dominic, a little bit earlier, you seemed quite willing to crucify some of the Dems that were supportive of this Fox News
deal. Those are your terms. Yes,
that was critical. My terms. Yes. You are being
you were
quite critical.
But you were also critical, but you said you wouldn't have done it, but I guess that's it. But yes, go ahead. Your thoughts.
You're still holding it against them.
I mean, what do you mean by that? If I was in Peter Barca's district, would I vote for him? Sure. Am I not going to bring up a vote that I thought was terrible and egregious? Of course I am, man. No, of course. Like I said, these are politicians. They can handle it. I have no problem calling people out on things that I think were unreasonable. And I think this was unreasononable.
Do you think
the original Foxconn deal? And I know you agree the same way. I guess I'm unclear as to what your criticism of my interpretation of their actions are. Because you are also critical, but for some reason, your position is better than mine?
Well, I certainly offer a caveat. I don't blanket chastise all of the Democrats that would sign off on this. As I pointed out before, Corey Mason was from Racine. This would be an affected area, right? They're promising a $10 billion investment, and you act like they sat at the table and somehow had the power to negotiate the terms with Mr. Foxconn. They did not. That was Scott Walker. And when it hit the assembly, when it hit the Senate, well, those things were heavily gerrymandered to the benefit of Republicans. So if you are a Democratic state lawmaker and a corporation has promised to invest $10 billion in your district and you vote against it, I think you're being quite short-sighted.
Really? I think you're being quite short-sighted, assuming that they're coming as honest brokers. A $10 billion, the largest investment in a foreign corporation in the country's history.
I know all the criticism. I share it.
I know. You see the dollar.
But hindsight's 20/20, dude.
That's the short-sightedness and memory. No, it's not. People were against this thing from the beginning, Crudy.
Well, you and I were, but I knew a lot of...
And we were against this from the beginning because it was bunk. We knew it, man. Foxconn was full of it. It was Trump and it was Walker, man. I mean, Foxconn, Trump, and Walker walk into a bar. Are you going to believe anything they say?
Let me ask you this. A lot of our union friends, labor friends, people that, you know, would perhaps garner employment through the building of a big Foxconn campus.
Certainly.
They were supportive of this deal.
They were supportive of the deal because they assume they're going to get the jobs. And I get that. But they're not the politicians. I listen, these are the elected officials. The employment market looks to those folks. Hey, is this a good idea or not? Yeah, we're going to get a bunch of jobs. Okay. You know, it is up to the politicians, the one I have an issue with. Man, they let those union people down. The 132 homes were eventually sold, some of them taken by eminent domain. Let those people down. You believe and you trust in Scott Walker and Donald Trump. I mean, when you look to the other, what I would call the locals in there, certainly some Dems, the MMAC, the county seven, all these folks were down. So if you're outside of it and say, hey, well, all of our elected leaders, they think this is a good idea. We'll do this. We're down with that. I come on, man. It's up to them to lead. You can't tell me, man. We were talking about it then. Pull the tape. It was not righteous then. It's not now. Now, maybe like something can come of it with Microsoft, and maybe the investment over the years will eventually come back. But no, man, I don't hold it against them. But when you're in those positions, if you're in the chamber, if you're an elected official, you have a responsibility to your constituents, man, not just re-election.
And isn't part of that responsibility to try and bring investment to one's district?
Yes, of course.
Now,
yes.
Scott Walker might have known that he was screwing the people of the state of Wisconsin, and he was desperate to earn himself some re-election, right? That might have been what motivated Scott Walker. But when you throw in the Peter Barkas and the Todd Unsteads and the Corey Masons, and you think they're somehow motivated in the same way and they deserve to be painted with the same brush.
What was the vote? What was there were support?
What is their motivation? Was being good serving their constituents?
I disagree. I think due diligence would have shown. We've talked about it from then. There were people standing up at the time saying, no, do not vote for this. Do not do it. Lots of Dems did it, and they did it. And they made that political determination because it's in their backyard. I understand that. It's your backyard. But you also, again, I think, have a responsibility to your constituents. And people lost their homes because of it. Rich, the cut from Louie, cut number U, if you would, please, talking about being a good neighbor. Now, again, this was the project manager for Foxconn on the ground being interviewed because, of course, people were pushing back on it. And he was skeptical. He couldn't understand why people would have an issue with them. Of course, history has shown out. Yeah, people had the BS meter going off. We realized that it was not a good deal. We have Louis Wu. Let's play Cut You, please.
We always believe you don't go into a place to try to be a family member and would ruin somebody's kitchen. We certainly like to be a good neighbor, and we're here to stay. We are a long-term player for that community. So there is no reason why we should not take upon it as our responsibility to make sure things as good as they are, if not even better, after we move in.
Ruin somebody's kitchen, man. You bulldoze the whole house. Come on.
I guess here's where I'm starting to differ from you, little buddy. And here's where I draw the distinction and perhaps your rant and where I might rant to. I think that local lawmakers certainly should want investment in their communities. And to suggest that any Republicans, Democrats aren't going to go there, well, that's short-sighted, man. That's very short-sighted.
Really? Come on, man. Foxconn, Donald Trump, and Scott Walker come and offer you $10 billion for anything. You think that's an honest deal? You're going to believe it right off the bat?
I didn't like the deal any better for the Dems that signed. You didn't let me finish the sentence. Okay. I didn't like the deal any better when the Dems signed off on the Fiserv Forum, Dom, which benefited private ownership. And this is not the same as building a bridge in Superior that crosses from one state to another. That's used for interstate commerce. This is used for concerts and for the Bucks to lose in the first round of the playoffs each year.
After they won a championship.
But Dem signed off on that. Because Scott Walker was shepherding through a plan cheaper to keep him. I hate that deal.
Okay, but are you mad at them, Crudy? Because you don't seem very mad at Peter Barca.
No, I think they're being pragmatic, and I think there's still a place for pragmatism in politics.
You can be pragmatic, man, and if it works out, then it's a good decision. If it doesn't, it wasn't a good decision. This was not a good decision.
And then Dom will crucify your ass on the radio. Come back. More Devils. You might get crucified, but call us 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Talking about the Foxconn, Joe Biden, the president of the United States, came to Studevant, Wisconsin, the Mount Pleasant area, to troll the former administration, his predecessor, on the failed promise. The eighth wonder of the world never came to fruition. Foxconn's dead. As we AI Trump together saying. So, you have taken some issue with the Democrats that would support this. And I have said, well, I certainly was skeptical as an elected to not take the risk on your district when the corporation's threatening to spend $10 billion for your district. And we as a state, sure, it seems like an outsized investment, but if you're sticking another $4 billion in my district, I'm freaking voting for it, man. You know what I mean? 13,000 permanent jobs, all the promises, and they may not have been, they didn't come to fruition, Dom.
Right, well, that's the point, man. That's the point. Who's making the promises? What's their character? What's their track record? Foxconn, Donald Trump, Scott Walker. Come on, there was amazing pushback from day one from locals. There were groups that came and organized, whatever. I mean, and I'm not any more critical than you. I don't think I'm any more critical than you, Crudy. I'm not going to, you say crucify them. No, I'm obviously bringing up my objection to their voting for this BS deal. You have an objection with it as well. So I don't know what you're arguing with me about.
Here's the point. I actually paid a financial price for my opposition to Foxconn. You may not have known that, Dom, but it was told to me by some of the trades unions. They were a little afraid to invest and put their messages on my radio station, Resistance Radio in Milwaukee, WRD, when I owned it there because of our strong advocacy against Foxconn. And guess what? They wanted the work.
Of course they want the work. Everyone wants the work. That's not the point. They're not the ones, the union trades, whoever's would benefit from it, from building something, are not the ones that are ultimately going to create the legislation and make the deal, right? Who's making the deal? Donald Trump, Scott Walker, and Foxconn. Of course people want work, man. I don't begrudge that. I totally understand all of these things. But it was the bad decision. It was the wrong decision.
Was it the wrong decision to publicly finance the Brewer Stadium? Twice.
I'm not a fan of publicly financing sports teams as a general rule. But if we look at how this actually went down, and I try to crunch some of the quick numbers of $524 million stadium, half of which was paid for by state and local, 80, $90 million directly from the state of Wisconsin.
Talking about players, the Fiserv players, Forum or the double dip we've got into the baseball stadium in Milwaukee? And the guy, you remember George Petak, the guy that got recalled over his support, a Republican voted to move forward with the public financing of the Brewer Stadium. Guy used to throw out the first pitch each day at Racine Night 5 years in a row. Guess what? He still did 2 weeks after he got recalled, Dom. George Petak, and, you know, if we are willing to throw them overboard, anyone that supports these things.
You know, being critical of someone's vote is way different than crucification and throwing them overboard, Crudy.
Well, Petak got crucified also, literally. Well, not literally, but figuratively.
Peter Barca also lost his
he
job.
He moved
as
on
well.
To the Department of Revenue. He didn't lose his job. He took a position in the cabinet. That's not a demotion from assembly to the cabinet. Now, he hopes to move on to the U.S. Congress. And I would support his decision then. And even with 2020 hindsight, I would still support Peter Barca's decision to vote for it, predicated on what district he represented.
Wow. I mean, so even 2020. So then why don't you? This is a bad deal, right?
It was a bad deal, but not for his constituents, not if half the promises made had come to fruition. And even if it's a day late and $3 billion short, Microsoft is still there. Microsoft's making a $3.3 billion investment, although I know you're skeptical because once bitten, twice shy with the whole Foxconn thing. Okay. But you know what? For the people that live in Mount Pleasant and for those that, you know, those Democratic lawmakers' constituents, they're now going to benefit a little later than expected. But the investment still being made in their respective districts. The mayor of Racine, the former Dem lawmaker, Corey Mason, got a shout out from President Biden today from the stage down in his district. Just saying.
Yeah. And I think the Republicans, Scott Walker and even I think Rojo was around, Ron Johnson. I think the Speaker of the House at the time wasn't Paul Ryan during Foxconn. He was also there. They're all very, very supportive of the Dems that were supporting Foxconn because the local Dems were the only ones who were down. And if you're going to give people a pass because, well, if it does come to fruition, you know, it's in your backyard. Let's not forget, if things go entirely upside down in those local markets and they can't afford the nut, the rest of the state's got to pick it up, man. It's not just a local issue on these, specifically on Foxconn.
Nor is it just a local issue when I'm financing the Brewer Stadium or the Buck Stadium. And as a guy who lives in Madison, I got to tell you, man.
So for $250 million of half of the Buck Stadium, $90 million from the state, the rest were from locals in bonding, right? So you're talking about the $90 million. My understanding is the Brewers of the Bucks pay about $9 million in payroll taxes a year. Payroll taxes alone. Does that help, you know, chip away at the stone for your
career? So there's a 30-year offset. We break even after 30. That's our sweet, swell deal. Cheaper to keep them, man.
That's part of it.
But Democrats from Milwaukee voted for that. And guess what? As a guy who's not a big fan of the Bucks, I didn't care for that. Should we go recall those guys?
Okay. Well, no, I'm not suggesting recalling anybody, man. I'm criticizing a vote, dude. And you can criticize votes without wanting to throw people overboard or crucify them. I mean, come on, man. And I get you don't like it, but at least there's a calculable payback for the Buck Stadium. Tell me where the math works on Foxconn.
The math does not work on the Buck Stadium, not for we the taxpayers. Maybe for those that benefit directly.
It
maybe for
does.
Major ghouls
the income tax.
It's about a net break
board.
Even, my understanding.
Okay, then, man, whatever. It's not a loss.
So now we're investing the taxpayers' money if it's not a loss. Guess what? There's a better way to do this. We've seen the example, bounce back grants. We saw Tony Evers invest in 8,600 small businesses at about 10 grand a piece and stimulated main streets all across the state of Wisconsin and didn't break the bank on an individual basis for any singular corporation. Well, that's Democratic governance. But you know what? If Tony's offering the bounce back grants in my district, I'm encouraging it, even if I'm a Republican, because that's voting for my constituencies. I'm delivering baby.
Come on. So you're saying the government making a policy is the same as the international corporation propped up and pumped up by and sold by Scott Walker and Donald Trump. Those are the same things.
I'm saying delivering the bacon for your constituency is always a forgivable offense. That's what I'm saying. 844 967-2789. Woodrow from Madison. Welcome, Woodrow. Tell me who's right on this one.
Hey, Woodrow.
You know, I got to be honest. I was at the gym and I just tuned in, but I called to say, I don't know if you guys have reported or heard, but supposedly Marjorie Taylor Greene has cast a vote to oust Speaker Mike Johnson. And I think that the Democrats should take a seat back and just let her rip and
let her go. I agree with you, Woodrow.
You're bringing us together, brother.
Yeah, we all agree on that.
We all agree. Let's throw Speaker MAGA Mike Johnson overboard, because, you know, who cares? I suspect that some word was given behind closed doors by Hakeem Jeffries or others, but, you know, that was behind closed doors.
I think it's going to be a vote your conscience thing, Woodrow. Did you realize, I don't know if we got to it yesterday or the day before, MAGA Mike Johnson came out and said he's going to do everything he can in Congress to try to get these cases against Donald Trump thrown out. You know, it's lawfare, yada, yada, yada. I mean, that's where his mind is right now. And I'm down for the governance. I'm down for the bipartisanship, pushing through the money and the legislation for Ukraine, et cetera. That's good. We need to govern. But now you're going to, use your authority as Speaker of the House to try to, you know, tap into the Justice Department and have them stop, and local DAs to stop prosecuting criminals because he's your candidate, man. I think that's the reason alone to let Meghan Mike, play in the wind and let the Republicans pick his fate.
Exactly. You said it. You're down for bipartisanship. The question is he down for bipartisanship?
Only when it comes to preserving his job. Right. Like, help me. Hey,
thanks for the call, Woodrow. We will get into the Marjorie Taylor Greene. That is breaking news. We'll get into that in the top of the hour. In the meantime, 844-967-2789.
Cindy from Appleton, my pal from the Grassroots Network. What's your opinion today, Cindy?
Hey, Cindy.
Well, I came in a little late, so hopefully I'm on track here, but I am not for funding, as a taxpayer, stadiums like the Brewers or the Bucks. But as far as the Taiwanese con job goes, we have already funded that event. I don't think we need to fund it again. It's time the businesses fund it and start giving us some of the money back that we spent those billions of dollars getting that Taiwanese con job up and running and it never ran. So I'm opposed to any more tax dollars for that.
Cindy, I'm not sure what the state's investment would be, but AI is cutting edge, and the federal government wants AI, and they want the investment at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. They want people to learn this new high-tech, this cutting edge. Cindy, I actually think this would be a good thing, and while I get it's still tax dollars, they're yours, they're mine, but these are not our state tax dollars being allocated to Microsoft. We have already been on the hook to basically develop out the infrastructure for this now Microsoft taking over for Foxconn. But Cindy, the $1.2 trillion in infrastructure, things like bridges and cutting edge technology, that is investment. We want investment, don't we, Cindy?
I don't know. AI scares me because I think it's going to take over the world. So do we really want to invest in something that's going to run us all off the planet? I don't think so.
It's Skynet, Cindy. It's Skynet. It's like the Terminator.
If I could replace them with AI tomorrow, I'd do it. Appreciate your call. Be well, sister. 844-967-2789. Let's sneak one more in this segment. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. And it's ironic now that, you know, I brought it up before. You know, look at the money, look at the opportunity cost that Scott Walker cost us in terms of the rail and the broadband that we could have had back in 2012. We could have that money spent, expanded the broadband way back then. I mean, how much opportunity loss was there because Scott Walker thought he could become president, you know, fulfill his badger's little boy dream of being president of the United States. I mean, it is just hopefully something will happen with the new Microsoft investment there. But I mean, the amount of money that Scott Walker cost us, and we have to, every time Scott Walker appears someplace, somebody's got to talk about his Foxconn failure and his failure to accept that, let alone Medicaid money we've been passing up for how many years? Yeah. How many billions of dollars does that cost us?
Yeah, but they're not Scott Walker's money. He'd brag about giving back half his salary when he was county executive. You know, he was making it all on the back end, Mark.
Yeah, he was.
Well, he still is. He's making like 800 grand a year. He ran for president with a net negative worth, and now he's got a nice lake house in Pewaukee.
How does that work?
Well, corruption pays.
Ah, Young America's Foundation, you know, making money off the Ute.
I think I was right the first time. Corruption pays. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Love to hear from you. Mega Mike Johnson on the hot seat. The clock is ticking. We'll tell you how long he's got. He's like a frog in the pot, right? Just turn that heat up. Eventually, he'll boil. More Devil's Advocates, more of your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. Call us, or if the boss is looking, just use the text line. We got a thing we call the Madison Blues. We do the Madison Blues. We do the Madison Blues. We do the Madison Blues, baby. Rock away your blues.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're going to go back to the line. You can join us there, talk or text at 844-967-2789.
Here are a couple of the thoughts on the text line, Dom. I try to keep up. Crudy, what exactly are you upset about regarding the Pfizer deal? Please elucidate. I'm not sure if I know that word as it's texted. They kept a building here. Athletes pay a bunch of taxes. Sales tax receipts are up. Didn't the owners of the Bucks pitch in? Well, I know they got rich. That franchise has been multiples of its original value. We, the taxpayers, provide the stadium to them. And I know, and I think it's more than $90 million ultimately that we, the taxpayers, were on the hook for. I think there's a larger bonding issue that we also pay. But
well, the bonding is to the locals, though. That's not state. That's not Crudy's tax dollar.
Oh, so Crudy's only on the hook for a portion of my portion of $90 million for the Bucks franchise.
Correct.
So rich guys can get richer. So that's part of it, let's just say. And here's another one. Andrew from Verona says, quit your bitching about Microsoft. The bigger story? Crudy bears a striking resemblance to suspect number 12 in the Mifflin Street block party car flipping investigation. Yeah. You know, they are scouring the videotapes now for perpetrators, Dom.
I know your phone was blowing up that day, Crudy. Crudy, where are you? But you were out of town, right? You can verify that?
I'm not sure if I can.
Why don't you come down to the station? We'll talk about it.
I don't have a clear-cut alibi. Madison Plummer says, Crudy's deflecting. Well, not very well. Here's another. AI is a tool like Dom. No, I added that part. AI is a tool. It's the people using the tool we need to be concerned about. We are not going to stop progress, but we need to legislate against the damage the tools and do the tools or the fools and do with the tools. Anyways, appreciate it. Crudy, I agree with them on Foxconn. Well, you lost me right there, Steady Eddie. Marcus should have looked at the deal with a more critical eye. Instead, he had money in his eyes and let the money influence his vote. Maybe. Maybe he's bringing home the bacon for his constituency. Always a forgivable sin in Crudy's book.
Yeah, so long as you actually bring home the bacon and don't come home with three beans.
844-967-2789. Maybe they were magic beans. That's what Scott Walker promised. Cam from Nina, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cam.
Hey, guys. I would caution against being for the Microsoft AI money. So the government in the U.S. has a problem right now, and part of that is, I mean, they have multiple problems, right? But part of the problem is that they have a lot of licensing deals, state and federal, with the Microsoft suite. And the Microsoft suite, while none of the products specifically work better or as the best inside of the entire market because they work seamlessly. The BAs inside of government see that as a win because it's cheaper for them to maintain and cheaper to upgrade. But it kind of locks the government into using that entire suite of tools. Now, 2 days ago, actually, I think it might have been late last night, they just closed down a bunch of their game studios at Xbox. And I know it's not related to AI specifically, but to give you a picture of it, Xbox has been around forever. I don't know if you guys know this, but LinkedIn brings Microsoft more money than the entirety of Xbox and the Xbox Game Studios.
Wow, I did not know that. I bought Xbox at heart because of Halo, Cam. I mean, I switched over because of a video game. Halo, greatest video game ever.
Yeah, I did too. It's just it's really scary though that I don't think they have our best interest at heart. They're rolling over for their shareholders as they usually do, and they did the same thing to Linux 30 years ago. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, Linux.
Sorry, you lost me, Cam. I'm dumb. 844-967-2789. LA Tom, you're next. Please don't talk above my head.
Hey, Tom. Hey guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We must be registered to vote and get ready for this upcoming election. You know, I agree. Well, especially back years ago, I was very, very much against Foxconn. In fact, I think we all said it was con. But it would have made a difference. I guess some problem I have is why are we going and harping on the Democratic votes when it was the Republican who I think did it on the back of the napkin, if I remember correctly. You had Trump saying it was the eighth wonder of the world. You had Paul Ryan practically having a wet dream over this thing. You had Ron Johnson, Mr. Oh, I didn't see nothing. I don't know nothing. When things happen, you have him, practically having a wet dream over this whole thing. And Donald Trump saying this would never have happened if he wouldn't have been president. So I think instead of focusing on the Peter Barkas and the Democrats, who honestly probably wouldn't have made a difference in that vote, we need to really focus on the Republicans because they're the ones that basically brought these magic beans to the state of Wisconsin and screwed over every taxpayer that was there. It never would have happened if Scott Walker wouldn't have said, let's put this on the back of a napkin and all of a sudden make a big decision of something that could affect people's children, grandchildren, and the people in the future of Wisconsin. What do you guys think of that? Let's focus on the Republicans.
Well, Tom, I've heard a litany of jobs that Scott Walker enumerated that he would not be qualified to do. Right. And negotiating a $4 billion deal with the foreign corporation, I'm going to throw that in the mix.
Oh, come on. This is the guy that claimed he fixed a $3.6 billion budget deficit the day he walked into the governorship. So, I mean, are you surprised? He's a rock star, that Scott Walker.
Tom, I've brokered a few deals. Literally a few deals, not in the $1 billion range. I am more qualified than Scott Walker to enumerate the terms on the back of the napkin. I've done it many times. Come back. More Devil's Advocate. Happier, happy hour indeed.